right, welcome back, guys. We're here again in the Wolf Lair with episode 3, talking about low light shooting on the DSLR cameras. We're here again with Dakota Wolf Nicolucci in the Wolf Lair.
Awesome.
I am Nico Vandenberg, and we have a guest host this time, Dana Shaw, cinematographer and editor.
Yeah.
Joined to talk us about low light shooting. So the past week, or the past 2 weeks, we've been mainly talking about the Canon 5 and 7D, and I just kind of wanted to point out that those are not the only two cameras out there that are competing for the DSLR industry. So what else do we have out there?
We have the Nikon D3S and X. We've got the Panasonic GH1. And in the Canon line, there's also the 1D and the 5D. So there's actually a lot more cameras in the market than we're talking about right now, and we're going to talk about that a little bit in comparison with the low-light features.
Yeah, and the Canon 1D Mark IV is kind of like the big daddy of the family of the 5 and the 7D, where the 1D is kind of like has everything in there. It's the full-frame sensor with the 24P.
Was that, actually, to be honest, what was that made? That was made after the 5D, before the 7D?
I believe the 5D was the first one that set it off with the HD video, and then we went to the 7D, and then the 1D Mark IV kind of whittled its way in the back door.
Yeah.
So it's 1D Mark IV.
1D Mark IV, and then it's the 5D Mark II.
Okay, so the 1D Mark IV is like the stepchild of the 5D Mark II.
Yeah. I would almost go ahead and say that like that's the daddy of the
But even though it came after, the 5D's kind of like what started it all, and then they really honed it, and then they started creating more. And the 7D is sort of the budget version for everybody. But it's still really good.
So how much does the 1D Mark II run?
The 1D Mark IV runs roughly. Four. I think the body is roughly around $4,000.
Yeah.
So it's
big daddy.
It's not the cheaper one out of the three.
All right.
So let's talk about low light shooting, since that's what a lot of these cameras are getting attention for, pushing the limits beyond your regular prosumer camcorders, as well as just film. I mean, a lot of people are using these cameras to match up with film, the Red camera and so on. So let's talk about the different possibilities with these ISOs. That these cameras can handle.
Yeah, I mean, what's crazy about them is that film can basically go up to roughly around 800 ISO before the film basically just disintegrates. It can't handle
the light.
It says
no more.
Yeah, it just gives in. It can't handle anymore. But with the DSLRs, they can go up to, as some cameras have gone up as much as, 104,000 ISO?
It's just crazy.
It's absurd.
So, like you're just talking about pushing... It's really pushing past film.
At least in comparison to low light. It's something that previously was physically unattainable. It could not be done, and cameras that did go that high looked horrible. But now cameras that go up that high actually don't look like total crap. It looks actually pretty good quality.
Right. I mean, if you're shooting film at a 800 ASA, I mean, it's like it's right at that point before the film will just like kind of disintegrate in the camera.
Yeah.
But that image is really still very noisy and is not an image that a lot of people would want to work with. So these cameras, roughly around 24,000 ASA, which is like an absurd number.
Yeah.
Is still pretty
really
usable.
Good.
Usable footage.
But the caveat is that not all these cameras are actually very good at this, and that's why we've brought up the point that there's other cameras out there. Because really, the strongest cameras in this low-light field is the Nikon, because of a really key difference, which is this difference between colored noise and black and white noise, correct?
Right. So the Nikon's noise is a black and white noise, which is much more appealing and kind of gives a little bit more... It relates more to a film look than the Canon's noise, which is a color noise, and it kind of like cheats and like can tell you that, wow, this is actually digital footage.
Yeah.
Now, is there like a firmware update or anything in the works that will take care of that colored noise on the low light situation for the Canons, or is it something that's going to be in the pitfalls?
As of right now, I haven't heard of any firmware updates for that.
Canon is not loved for their firmware updates because no. either they're very few and far between, or when they come out, they break. So,
but I mean, there is other software programs. I can't think of any off the top of my head right now, but I know there is different programs that they use in post-production to take care of some of the noise issues and noise reduction, at least.
That's a good point, though.
So that would be similar to like a telecine process with film, where you're controlling how much grain you get, how much noise you want, like the look and feel of it.
Exactly.
Like, right, I mean, we're in this digital era and we're blessed with so many like instant gratification things, but there's still a lot of work to after be done with digital. It's not like, oh, it's digital and like, yeah, we're done with shooting. Like film, it's still a long process. It's just a different, you're taking a different path to get there.
And yeah.
Either embracing it or you're not right now. And digital happens to be a little bit more, or not a little bit more, but with these DSLRs, it's very financially beneficial.
Yeah, for indie filmmakers, at least at the indie level with these cameras, it is a cheaper experience. You have, you know, Final Cut Pro, and you can use a couple programs like Magic Bullet or things like, or even Color that comes with Final Cut Studio. And you can make really good color correction with your footage.
Yeah, so. And in Color, I mean, there's this really great, I'm pretty sure it's a stock filter that comes standard with the Color program, which is a film grain, and it adds a little film grain that really helps to sell the effect. And I mean, I've done a lot of test shooting with my 70 and added that filter into that footage, and it really does help kind of sell the effect.
It's funny because, I mean, you know, even though we've got digital, we're always trying to make digital look more like film, you know? Right, I mean, it's always, it's such an odd thing, but it's like, yeah, we've got digital, so we can make it look more like film. And so, I mean, film's still very much a standard. I mean, it's still, even though it doesn't seem like it is, it's still very important because the basis that everything's based on is film. I mean...
Exactly.
Right. Now, you know, I constantly find myself, like, being attracted to film burns or kind of the mistakes that filmmakers used to make that were very unattractive. Lens flares, kind of out of focus light.
Right.
And things that like don't make sense. You know? Yeah, things that don't make sense to our predecessors. And when they see that in my films or your guys' films, they kind of look at it kind of like a faux pas. But I think it's kind of, you know, it's a stylistic choice that people are using.
And it's kind of our way of respecting the past brothers of filmmaking. You know, I mean, this is a young field, you know, and this is what... our way of kind of looking back at what was so great about.
I mean, a lot. I mean, if we could think, if we were in their shoes, these filmmakers, they would probably be crapping their pants at this technology that wasn't available to them. Like, how many times did they want to do all this low light shooting, and now with these cameras, it's possible.
Yeah.
So
freaking moonlight. I mean, that's what people are talking about now. Is you can go outside, and you know, obviously, you know, say you don't have a light kit with you or something, but you really want to shoot something under moonlight, and you can, and it can look good. I mean, and that's what's just absolutely just blows you away, you know?
And I mean, if you're also shooting film, it's a good way if you can't use the right film stock to get the exposure that you need. This footage is comparable and now being able to be integrated. So before we have to wrap this up, I just want to talk about the native ISOs within the Canon cameras.
Yeah, it's a weird issue.
So I mean, it's kind of funky because all the ISOs is a digital ISO since it's a digital camera, but there is a native ISO within these cameras that the camera tends to like, and that's your 160, 320, and 640, and the numbers in between that, your like 100, your 200, your 250, are kind of like pseudo ISOs, and I've heard rumors that, you know, it tends to be even grainier. Like, if you're shooting a 250, your 320 ISO will be even cleaner than your 250, which
is really bizarre.
Which is kind of weird. You know, people have had different opinions that they can't really see the difference, but just be mindful. Do some of your own tests to come to your own conclusion.
That's what you gotta do. When you get these cameras, you know, you see all those videos online and you're like, I don't want to be that guy doing up all of those test videos. But it's important because these cameras are really complex, and especially for a new user like myself even, there's a lot of new things you've got to be thinking about. And the only way you're going to be mindful of these issues is testing. Just test in all kind of different ways.
Exactly.
You know? Right. You know, like just because, you know, our film forefathers established a road doesn't mean we can't travel it with the new gear.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, we have to get in the habit of making sure that we're on point with our exposures, with our image quality, and just what you want. So I mean, that's kind of how you get there. You don't just, you know, that's what separates a beginner in any kind of realm from a seasoned professional.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I mean, you gotta know what you're doing. You're ready for these different things that can come up.
You know? You can't move on to the future without having the knowledge from the past.
Right. Yep. Well, I want to thank Dana Shaw for joining us this week, and again, Dakota Wolf Nicolucci joining us here in the Wolf Lair.
Anytime.
And that's it for this week, and we'll catch you next week.